Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on this Friday for the first quarter results conference call. It's no surprise that I'm joined by Rodrigo, Gonçalo, and João, as usual. Gonçalo will go through a presentation after Rodrigo's remarks, and then we'll open for questions. Rodrigo?
Okay. Well, Ana, thank you very much. Good afternoon, all. We, as Ana said, we are going through the first quarter results. As you had a chance to look, there is not any big news, any unexpected surprises, as usual. Today and yesterday, we had a couple of very busy days. Yesterday, we had our annual shareholder meeting. We had, I believe, a good meeting. We got the approvals in all the topics of the agenda. You will have to listen to us most probably for the next 3 years. And I think, the shareholders are quite happy with what happened in the past 3 years and the way we deliver the business plan, and also especially 2017. It was, by any measure, a very, very good year. Following the general shareholder meeting, we had the first board meeting with the new board. Now we have one board member was replaced. One of our Chinese non-executive board members was replaced with another one, also with same type of background, engineer on the electrical side. And we also had the pleasure to announce, and confirm, because it was announced when we present the list, a new independent non-executive board member, Professor Manuela Veloso. She's a scientist. She's based in U.S., in Pittsburgh. She's the dean of the artificial intelligence area in the University of Carnegie Mellon. We are quite excited by having her joining our board. In fact, also today it was announced that she's going to lead in New York for JP Morgan a new initiative on artificial intelligence. It seems that we spot a very good person to join us in the board. We're very glad about that new board member. Today we had our Capital Market Day. Maybe some of you attended it, I'm not sure. The fact is, the presentations, they were posted in the regulator website at 10:30 a.m. this morning. We believe we delivered the presentations without surprises again, as usual. Same strategic pillars, focusing a lot on good operation in terms of service and cost, also with the usual financial discipline and control, and new investments according to our very 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 strict rules to make sure that we are ready to another good period, and making sure we are able to propose every year the same dividend. We also announced that we want to keep going with exactly the same dividend policy. And in a nutshell, I think this is this is what we did this morning. Again, we went through a lot of the detail the small things we can share. Of course, we also finished with a very good Q&A where we had the chance to answer to a lot of questions. We are quite happy with the feedback we got during the meeting and after the meeting, and we look forward to deliver this strategy that it's very similar to the previous period. And with that, I will go back now to the quarter results, and I will leave you with Gonçalo.
Hi, hello, good afternoon to you all. Thank you for joining. So let me go through the slides. I'm on slide number 2 now. So in terms of the highlights, EBITDA was up almost 4% by 4.7 million euros. It reached 128.4 million. This is basically due both to the, I'd say, the positive impact of Portgás now being in the accounts, and this was, on the other side, counterbalanced by the fact that we already knew that RAB remuneration would be coming up because not only of the revision of the regulatory framework, but mainly because of the evolution of the rates. And so these kind of cancel each other out, but because of some things in cost that I'll go through in a little bit, EBITDA ended up going up. CapEx and transfers to RAB displayed a positive evolution, but it's, I'd say, still very early on to make any kind of comments. Net profit stood at 13.1. This is slightly below last year, and this is mainly driven by amortizations. The reality is that financial costs that had been coming down at a very fast pace now start to come down, but I'd say at a slower pace, which then translates into this higher pressure in terms of net profits. This is what you can see in financial results. They are actually slightly worse. I'll explain it to you. There's a non-recurrent item that occurred last year that also tends to explain this, but this is also explained mostly by the increase in net debt. And apart from that, I would say that the other main event was that Fitch reaffirmed our rating of BBB with a stable outlook, which came out April 11 this year. So in terms of slide number 3, results at a glance, we went over them. So EBITDA up almost 4%, net profit down almost 3%. CapEx was up, but as we say, it's not really at this stage very meaningful. So let's look at what happened with the rates and why we are having this impact in terms of regulated assets. So if we go to slide number 4, it's very easy to see what has been going on. So you see that electricity base rate came from 6.5 to 5.2. So it is a mix of these two things that I told you, not only the regulatory framework change and is new, but mainly you can see in the graph the rates have been coming down. And then gas is the same. Although the regulatory framework is the same, the reality is that the rates trend push down and keep pushing down the regulated returns. In slide number 5, you see CapEx. So you see that this is going up, but it already includes also Portgás, which is around 4 million euros. We know that Portgás will have a CapEx of around 20-25 million euros per year in the coming periods. That being said, the fact that the other one is decreasing, we also have been telling you that CapEx should decrease this year versus last year without Portgás. But to be honest, this first quarter is kind of meaningless. But that being said, we know that this is the trend that we are going to see on a yearly basis. Slide number 6, you can see the evolution of average RAB. So here it's basically the Portgás evolution and acquisition that drives this increase from one quarter to the other, and the rest, I'd say, is the normal one. You know that in any normal year, most of the CapEx is done at the last quarter, so normally in the first, second, and third quarters, you tend to see a decrease in average RAB, and then you tend to see that being compensated or not. In our case, as we said this year, CapEx is going to be below depreciation, normal CapEx, so you will see this coming down slightly. On slide number 7, you have both of these things put together. So on electricity, you have remuneration coming down because both of the RAB and of the rate, and mainly because of the rate. You see that it accounts for almost 7 million euros. On the natural gas transmission, the same story. So it's mainly a rate story, but asset base also comes down a little bit. On Portgás, you see that you have a bigger negative impact from rates, but at the same time, actually, our asset base is going up, so it compensates a little bit. And this slide shows very well the trend that you should see this year. So in terms of OPEX, you see this increase of 21%, but it's because of the inclusion of Portgás. If you take it out, OPEX will be coming down. Personnel costs that you see there, I'd say that is more or less the trends that you could expect on a yearly basis. External supplies, no. This is it has several non-recurrents in here, but the main one is the one that is signaled below in the notes. You have this transaction costs of Electrogas last year, and they were incurred in the first quarter. The ones from Portgas are later on, but these ones were incurred in the first quarter. And so it makes this change, even though, for instance, last year we didn't issue bonds and this year we did, even though that you have this decrease of 1.5. So it's true that you should expect OPEX to come down even without the M&A costs. I think that these 2017 M&A costs will make it always to come down along the year, but even without those, you should expect OPEX to come down a little bit on a yearly basis. So you have then on slide number 9 just the further detail of pass-through costs. The only thing that we would add is that subsoil occupation levies, which are things that we have to pay and then repass to the end consumer in their normal bills at the Portgás, at the gas distribution level. Okay, but we wanted to isolate it so that you understand that there is a new item here, that you are able to understand exactly how all of these items vary along the year. So in slide 10, and you can see the summary of EBITDA. So basically, see the first two columns are the ones that are more important. So EBITDA from Portgás and asset remuneration. And then the other ones, OPEX contribution has to do with this. You also have a lot of costs that typically come up later in the year. So I would say that this tend to be smaller in the future. There's one point moving forward that I want to point out to you is that asset remuneration now has only a few months is what we've noticed, and you've probably noticed is that recent rates are lower than average. So we are noticing that as time goes by, if rates stay where they are, this tends to decrease the average. So it's normal that on the second quarter, we'll feel a little bit more pressure than we are feeling now, and that it may become larger than the impact from Portgás. Okay, so rates were, I would say, slightly below what we anticipated. I think that what everybody anticipated, slightly below, so it's putting a little bit more, it's going to put a little bit more pressure. You don't see it yet because we are only doing the average since October. Okay. Going to slide 11 on below EBITDA, so depreciation is nothing much. What you see is the evolution of and the inclusion of Portgás again. On the financial results, you see this increase in cost. So I'd say that there's three impacts here. There's average debt that goes up because of the Portgás acquisition. There's the net debt, the cost of net debt that comes down from 2.6 to 2.3, which actually more than compensates this. And then there's, again, a non-recurrent cost relating to Electrogas. It was a positive impact in financial costs last year of around a couple of million euros because of exchange rate gains that we have when we concluded the transaction, in that between concluding and paying there was an exchange gain, and that was around 2 million euros, and that's why you see this worsening one. If not, you'd be seeing it. If you didn't have that, you'd see it improving around one or a little bit less than one, even though net debt is going up. Okay, and taxes, I'd say same thing. As you know, we account for the levy 100% in the first quarter, and so this is what you are seeing here. There's nothing new or unexpected in tax-wise, I'd say. So in terms of net debt, and moving to slide number 12, we are expecting that net debt goes down this year. And that being said, we are not expecting to go down so much. The reality is that net debt at the end of the year was already a little bit lower than we anticipated. So we started the year already slightly below what we anticipated. There is, in this quarter, some working capital impact. again. So I think that Anna then can go through with you in more detail if you want. As you know, it depends on the quarter and the years. For instance, we were talking about the business plan. On the business plan on a four-year horizon, the impact is meaningless. But sometimes in any given year, it can be, it can have some impact. And in this case, it's becoming positive. But then it's an issue of also lower capex, and that is the story. So, but that being said, we do expect that net debt should come down during the year, but perhaps not so much as it is coming down right now. Okay. In terms of credit metrics, we are, I'd say, in a comfortable level of credit metrics, fresh off the capital increase. So I think that we are at the place that we plan to be, which is in the 11th, closer to the 12% in terms of FFO net debt. So moving to slide 13, just the result of why net profit is actually coming down. So what you see is that now you don't have so much of an impact coming from reduction of financial costs, because those were anticipated, but you are still feeling now the impact in the rates that remunerate the assets. So we anticipated that, but now it's catching up with us, which is normal, let's say, widening and tightening of the spread that occurs on a regulated company. So, final remarks before moving into Q&A, I'd say that nothing out of the ordinary, pretty good, let's say, quarter and sound financial numbers. We had the story of postcards and lower asset remuneration. Apart from that, nothing much. We still are enjoying this extremely high corporate tax rate of close to 40%. It is what it is. We continue to fight. Although there are no main news that we can share, I think, with you, apart from what we already told everybody on the Capital Markets Day today. And so I think this is perfectly in line with what we have in the budget and with the numbers that we presented today in the Capital Markets Day. So thank you very much for listening, and now we'll open the floor to any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal now by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 for any questions. We'll take our first question from Carolina Doris with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two. One, it's on results. So I noticed that even though you've increased the RAB because of port gas, the energy levy, the SESI value has not increased. I was expecting it to increase a bit. Is this because there's a waiver on gas distribution? If you can elaborate on that. And my second, if you don't mind, I have a follow up on the Investors Day, on the contribution of the 400 million investments of inorganic growth. Gonzalo, you mentioned that you expect a contribution of 20 million on the EBITDA, and that's towards the end of the plan. But what I had understood is that the EBITDA that you've given for 18 in 21, it's a range and not an average. So in a way, the 20 million is the contribution of a full year of that investment of 400 million. It's my interpretation, right? And I guess a follow up on that is that, put it in another way, what is the earnings contribution in 2021 that you're expecting to have from the 400 million of investments? This would be very useful so we can isolate how much EBITDA and earnings are coming from the Portuguese business and how much earnings and EBITDA you're expecting from new businesses or inorganic investments. Thank you very much.
So first question is, because you don't see the levy going up in our case, because as we structured and we bought the company, we are isolated from that amount for a certain amount of years. So we are not responsible to paying that amount in some years, okay? So that is why you do not see it there, okay? The second thing relating to the 400 million, yes, 20 million is the yearly impact of, and I was referring to 2021, the yearly impact, it's around that figure that you have on 2021 of impact. it translates in terms of net income of, let's say, something like 12, 13 million, something like that. Okay?
All right, and we'll take our next question from Jorge Gumeres with Haitong.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. Firstly, regarding your EBIT objective of 475 to 500 million euros and trying to relate it to the free cash flow metric, how much of that would be non-cash EBIT? And secondly, it would be helpful if you can clarify your view about the special energy tax, because you apparently included the special energy tax in your earnings guidance after 2019, meaning after the end of the current government term here in Portugal. So it would be very helpful if you believe that you're going to pay after 2019, or is it just a matter of conservativeness? I mean, what is your view about this tax? Thank you very much.
Okay. I will take the second question first about the tax. I think your point and your question about if we were being conservative, yes, that's the case. You know, because the uncertainty is so big at the moment. We have the case, as I said before today, you know, we have some hope that, you know, in a period of 3 to 6 months, maybe the courts will have the first decision. We don't know. But, you know, it would not come as a surprise if they decide in this following period of 3 to 6 months, I would say, you know, before the end of the year. And then we will see, you know, and we will have to reset some expectations, maybe on more on the positive side, maybe on what it is today. The way we draft our plan is, We are keeping the case in the court. We are keeping, you know, our concern in terms of the tax we pay. Gonçalo already mentioned that also in the call today. But, you know, we have to, in the way we build the plan, we prefer to be more conservative. And you have to see it, you know, as a worst case scenario in terms of what can happen there. You know, we still believe that something will happen in that front. You know, but there is not much we can really do. This is really on the hands of the government executives to decide what they want to do or not, and that will depend a lot on the decisions of the courts. And you know, we always like to explain, this is an extremely complex case. We are talking about different cases with different courts. We are talking about different type of appeals we will be able to do also, depending on the verdict. And to be very, very straightforward, we have no visibility at this point on what will happen. You know, we hope that will be good sense, you know, but, you know, this is a situation that it's well beyond our control. And, you know, we are just doing what we can do, which is to act through our lawyers in the courts. And I think we have a good case. Gonçalo, do you want to take the first one?
The first question, I don't know if I got it all, but then Anna can kind of come back to you and give you a fuller answer. So the 175 you see there is the cash flow after CapEx, and taking from EBITDA, the amount of EBITDA which is not cash is not a significant amount. It can be around 40 million euros. But I think that Anna can go with you a little bit in further detail. But I want to make sure that I understand well your question, and so that we give you the proper answer. This is like capitalized salaries and things like this that are included in here. But then Anna will go back to you to make sure that we give you the correct answer, okay?
Many
thank
thanks.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, it's star one to ask a question on the call, star one. We'll take our next question from Sarah Piccinini with Mediobanca.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions and for the presentation. So, I have actually just a few remainings. The first one is what is your assumption for the business plan about the gas remuneration from 2019? Are you expecting the regulator to align the remuneration for gas transmission to the one of electricity, or you expect it to remained pretty much the same? And the second question is just on if you can give your guidance on the tax rate by until 2021. Many thanks.
The only thing we can tell you is that, of course, we are going to be, and we cannot have a very specific answer to that question of the gas. What we expect is that the framework is going to be stable, is going to be in the same kind of logic. What you can expect that the rates are going to be in the logic of how market rates evolve. I mean, you have a very strong historic of how the regulator looks at this, how they make rates go up a little bit and down as rates go down. So, I mean, we cannot give you a very specific answer, but I'd say that you should not have a surprise. I think the regulator tends to be very stable and very kind of technical in this. The second question you asked is the tax rate, I think, what we were considering, if I'm correct, and that is the tax rate that we have now, which is 29%. So that's what we consider. Typically, we tend to even have slightly below that, but in the business plan, and you can use that, well, we use the full marginal one, which is around 29%. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn it back over to Ana Fernandez for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. Well, it's no surprise. I mean, we had lots of questions coming from the Capital Markets Day anyway this morning. So thank you for your patience, for hearing us in the morning and in the afternoon. You know where to find me if you have any further questions. For now, I wish you a great weekend, and I hope to see you guys soon. Bye.
Thank you.